Welcome to another episode of After the Credits, and I am your host, Marina Antunes. Here today, just to introduce a very special discussion, I recently had a chance to chat with Danishka Esterhazy. She is the director of the Canadian film Black Field, which had its world premiere at the Vancouver International Film Festival in 2009. Black Field is actually scheduled to open across Canada on Friday, May the 28th, and I recently had a chance to speak with Danishka about her project. Take a listen. So I'm speaking today with Danishka Esterhazy, the director and writer of Black Field. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today, Danishka.
Oh, you're welcome.
Before we get started talking about Black Field specifically, I was kind of curious about your background, because it's quite diverse. You're a historian, and you play the harp, and you love film. I'm wondering how that's all sort of, how we went from, you know, studying history to directing movies.
Well, I've always been a huge fan of film, and, you know, I discovered that filmmaking was something I could actually pursue. I think growing up, my interest was always in storytelling, but I did a lot of, and didn't really discover film until after I finished my university study. So I did have a degree in history. And I did make my living for many years as a musician. And then, I got the film bug a little late in life, and it really took over. And luckily, I found that the things I did previously to film, my interest in music and history and literature, I've been able to include all those interests in the films that I make.
And how did you come to make your first film?
I had friends who started to work in the film industry, and I think by seeing behind the scenes for the first time through her work, it really opened up my imagination. I'd always assumed, I guess rather naively, that filmmaking was something that was done in other cities and other countries by, you know, really extraordinary people, and I had no idea how accessible filmmaking really was. And once I began to have a glimpse of that, I started to experiment quite excessively and make lots of amateur films on video and with hand-processed film. And I became very involved with one take film group. And then there was really no turning back. No problem.
You've written all of your scripts. Where do your stories come from?
Well, it depends. It's actually, I've found it slightly different for my short films and my feature work. I think about age films, and my short films tend to be inspired by an image. That's usually where I start with one image that really anchors the story. And then from there, you know, in concentric circles, I construct the world of the characters of the plot. But for feature filmmaking, and I have a few other feature scripts in development, besides obviously the first feature that I've made, Black Field, they tend to come from a slightly different place. They tend to come from the main character.
Okay. I'm curious, the only one of your short films that I've actually managed to see was The Snow Queen, which is really beautiful. And I was curious, what was the image where that film started from?
That image was something I guess I'd held in my head since I'd read a fairy tale book about The Snow Queen when I was a child. And it was that image of this regal and merciless Snow Queen on her giant throne made from ice. And I always thought of that as such a wonderful symbol in that she has all this power. She's the queen of her domain, but her power is built on something so fragile and brittle and something so unnurturing, the cold weakness of ice. And that was something that really inspired me to write a story about looking at the choices we make in life to protect ourselves emotionally after we've experienced emotional pain, and how easy it is to build barriers around ourselves for protection that lead to a really deathly form of isolation.
Now, you started writing this script.
And you started writing the script for Black Field in 2008. Did you always intend to make a period film as your first film, or was that just the story that sort of came out?
Well, I'm a very big fan of historical drama. I love it. I can't get enough of it, and I watch every historical drama that I can get my hands on. But Blackfield wasn't supposed to be my first feature. I have another script that's been in development for a few years called Level 16, and that script has support from NSI, Telefilm, and Harold Greenberg Fund, and it's been moving along, and hopefully will go into production next year. But I'd always imagine that would be my first film. But one of the things I encountered when I was trying to get Level 16 financed was that the funders and the broadcasters and distributors, they're very wary of investing in a first-time feature filmmaker. They're not sure you can deliver the goods. Making, you know, award-winning short films really isn't enough. And so, because Level 16 required a slightly larger budget of about $2 million, which is still a pretty small budget in the sense of world cinema, but it's big for Canada. So that was really slow trying to convince people to give us the money to make that. So I thought, meanwhile, I'd write a script with a small cast and few locations that could be shot for less money, and that I might be able to get investors to help us make that film first, and that became Black Field.
Now, it's funny that you know, you chose this as your first feature because it's smaller in scope as far as characters and settings, but a period piece, at least in my mind, it tends to always be more expensive. Did you have to make any concessions to sort of work within your budget?
Well, I think it's very challenging to make any film for under $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we managed to do some incredible things for that money. We shot on 35mm. We built our own location. You know, we had challenges. We were shooting in exteriors and all kinds of weather. We had horses, you know, and of course, having to create an entire 19th century world in terms of props and wardrobes, and, you know. So it was immensely challenging, for sure. But the thing that gave me confidence to create the film is that I knew the Manitoba crew very well. I've worked with many of the creative keys who made Black Field. I've worked with them on my previous short films. And I knew just how creative they could be on a very small budget. And I knew that they could really achieve miraculous visual production design for very little. And so that gave me the confidence to go forward.
And for me, that's one of the things that I love so much about Black Field is the look of the film. It's just, it's gorgeous, and it does have that very gothic feel. And you fought pretty hard to have this shot on film, correct?
Yeah, you know, we really did not have the budget to shoot on film, to be honest. but it was really important to me and really important to my wonderful cinematographer, Paul Sudelman. And we knew that for the kinds of visuals that we were trying to create, the night candlelit scenes and the vast open prairie scenes, that film was really the best way to go for this particular story. And we had a few things that, you know, came our way and helped make that possible. One of them is that I won the Kodak New Vision Award in 2008. And that came with a gift of $5,000 for the film from Kodak. And then we also managed to shoot on 2PERF. We were able to bring in a 2PERF 35mm camera, which really reduced our costs for processing and printing. So together, and with some creativity on the part of my producers, we did manage to shoot out 35, and I'm very proud of the visual look of the film.
I'm curious about your cast. You know, you have Sarah Canning, Matthew Barquette, Ferran Guillermo. Where did you find these people? Were they your first choices, or did you have to fight for them?
Because it was my first feature, mm-hmm. It was very important to me to see a lot of actors mm-hmm. and to have a very extensive casting process.
Mm-hmm.
So we did audition many actors. And then once we had a kind of short list of support to try to put a cast together that that worked well together, the two actresses who could, you know, be believable as sisters, and, you know, the trio that could have a sense of charisma together. So we did a lot of auditioning, and then we had some luck. For example, Sarah Canning, we managed to get just in this brief period between her shooting the pilot for Vampire Diaries and just before the actual TV series got picked up. So we were very lucky to be able to bring her into Manitoba and to train the mud for a couple months.
I'm actually kind of curious. I've noticed that there's been a little bit of periphery support for Blackfield because of Sarah's involvement with the Vampire Diaries. How do you feel about that? That's kind of cool.
It is cool. I think, you know, Sarah really has a big fan base because of her work on TV series, and I think that's wonderful. She deserves it. She's an amazing actress. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a privilege to work with her. And I think there are some crossovers. I mean, obviously my story was really inspired by Gothic literature and by the Bronte Age, and so it has a tone of dark romance that actually I think has quite a lot in common with the Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. So I think fans of that series would enjoy the film.
I completely agree, being a fan of both the series and the film. I can vouch for that.
See, you're my demographic.
I'm right in there. Maybe not quite as young as the target demographic of the Vampire Diaries, but I'm in there. I'm kind of curious. You shot another film last year, a short film called The Red Hood. Have you finished work on that?
Yes, it's premiering in July at an Italian film festival in Salento. And I'm really glad to finally get that out. I'm afraid Red Hood has suffered a little bit because immediately after I shot Red Hood, I went into pre-production for Blackfield. So I haven't had much chance to distribute it and get it out there. But the Winnipeg Film Group is distributing the short now, and so I think it will start playing at festivals around the world.
Oh, that's excellent.
Quite funny, though, because I was recently at the Female Eye Film Festival, mm-hmm. and there was a masterclass there being taught by Catherine Hardwicke, of course, who's directed Twilight, mm-hmm. and I went to that class, and it was really great, and Catherine was fantastic, and her next project is a gothic retelling of Lord Rottingham.
It's funny how these things... Yeah, it's funny how these things all sort of come together.
I thought... Tell her about my short film, but no.
I read somewhere about some of your inspiration, other directors that you look up to, and you have a lot of women that you look up to. Carrie Scarborough, she's the Canadian director, Jane Campion, Sofia Coppola, Catherine Braillat. They're all female, but all of their films are very, very different. What do you see in them as inspiration?
What I'm really inspired by is that combination of strong visual storytelling with a complex, you know, character. You know, to me, you need both elements to make a great film. It has to really embrace cinematic arts. It should be stunningly beautiful, I think, even if it's looking at a dark topic. But it also has to have rich characters. It can't have a beautiful setting and characters who are cardboard stereotypes. And, you know, as a woman filmmaker, this I find particularly important because it's so rare to find stories in film with strong female protagonists who have a complexity and humanity that doesn't, that really shows what it, you know, the human experience, but through female eyes.
It's funny, I'm always kind of curious about, you know, directors, and I mean, it's so difficult to make a film. Do you think it's more difficult to break into the field if you are a woman?
Well, you know, I often wonder what these barriers are, because mm-hmm. women are so incredibly underrepresented in
yes.
the director's chair. Mm-hmm. You know, we're about 3% of the population of working directors, and if you look at, you know, the news over the last few days, all the films in competition at Cannes this year, there's not a single female director in that list.
Yeah.
And what is it that is preventing women from either making films or from having their films seen and heard? And I'm not sure what the obstacles are, but there is an incredible inequality, and it's very frustrating. And it's an invisible inequality. I don't think most people know that when they go to the theater, they're not seeing any stories told by women.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything we can do to try to change that?
I think it's important to talk about it because it is such an invisible form of inequality. And I think it's important to champion the women directors who have achieved a high level of artistry, which I think is why I'm always referring to Jane Campion or Patricia Rosema or one of those filmmakers that I really love, who's a woman and who's mm-hmm. made incredible work that's inspired me. because we need to know their names. You know, they're up against incredible odds.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm kind of curious, you mentioned that you're working on a film called Level 16. I'm assuming that might be your next project then?
Yes, I have three other features in development, but Level 16 I think is the closest to production, and I really hope we'll get to shoot that next year.
Can you tell us anything about the film, or is that sort of top secret for the time being?
No, it's a science fiction thriller, and but it's past is entirely made up of 16-year-old girls. So it's a kind of dystopian story about the teenage female experience.
Oh, I'm loving this already.
It's a story I really love, and I've wanted to make it for a while, so I can't wait to get it closer to production.
Oh, that's excellent. That sounds really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that, I must say. That's great. You know, I find it fascinating that your interests are so varied. You know, I mean, we go from gothic literature to science fiction. That's fascinating to me. Is there a specific reason for that, or is that just the way that your brain functions?
I really love genre storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big geek and a big fan of genre storytelling, and whether it's fantasy or science fiction or historical drama or mystery, I love the conventions, and I love the challenge of working within the conventions to tell a story that has a lot of depth and a real sense of wisdom and comment on the human condition.
Do you have a favorite genre filmmaker?
Oh, I'm sorry, you cut out. What did you say?
Do you have a favorite genre filmmaker?
I don't think I have a favorite genre filmmaker, because it seems to me that the filmmakers who embrace different genres, you know, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, I really love, for example, work that Ridley Scott's done in different genres. Blade Runner is a huge inspiration, such an amazing film. You know, it's all over the place. I really love Gattaca as another science fiction. I love THX 1138. You know, these are things. I even love the really cheesy old science fiction like Logan's Run, which I've seen about a thousand times. Because even that early, very cheesy science fiction does an incredible job of world creation. And I think the best films are films where you go and you surrender to them for 2 hours, but the world and the characters that you see are so real that you can imagine their lives after you leave the theater.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if, you know, you had the ultimate project and you could direct any work. Do you have a story that you would like to tell?
Well, you know, I have a script in development right now that I just came back from England researching it. It's a biographical story about a woman who was a model and an artist in the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood. Her name is Elizabeth Siddle. And I just spent a couple weeks going to archives and galleries and visiting the homes where she lived in England. And I think her story is so fascinating, and I'm really looking forward to finishing that script.
Oh, excellent. Dinishka, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It's been a great time talking to you.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
And Blackfield comes out this summer. Now, do you have a release date yet for the film?
Yes, it's currently booked to 5 cities across the country. Mm-hmm. Different dates in every city, but it starts May 28th in Winnipeg, where it's playing for 2 weeks, and moves to Toronto, to the Blur Cinema, where it opens on June 11th. And it's also playing in Brandon, Calgary, and Edmonton. And we'll probably have a few more cities announced before the end of the summer.
Oh, excellent. I hope Vancouver is one of them.
Oh, sorry, what?
I hope Vancouver is one of them.
Oh, I hope so, too. Yeah, well, we had such a positive reception during the Vancouver Film Festival, and, of course, Sarah Canning is, you know, from Vancouver. She attended the Vancouver Film School, so we have a lot of strong ties there, and I do hope we'll be coming out west, and hopefully Victoria, too.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Dinishka, thank you again. We'll be following up on your new project. Level 16 sounds fantastic, and some of your other projects sound really great, too. So good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
And I hope to see you soon.
And that was my chat with director Danishka Esterhazy. Just a reminder, Blackfield opens on Friday, May the 28th in Winnipeg, Toronto, Brandon, Calgary, and Edmonton, hopefully expanding further across Canada in the coming weeks. You can come on by row3.com to check out the trailer, and also be sure to visit the film's website, blackfieldmovie.com. To check out more trailers, lots of images, and more information about the film. That's it for today's episode of After the Credits. Stay tuned. We're going to be coming at you pretty quick with a, let's see, what month are we going to? June preview. That might be a day or two late, but do look for that in the coming week. Until next time, we'll see you after the credits.